This Vanity Fair piece is spicier than we all thought. As Peter Twinklage points out on Twitter, are those lip filler injection sites? Jesus, Vanity Fair went nuclear on Caroline Levitt. I want to go to the original Instagram post made by Vanity Fair where they have close-up photos of Caroline Levitt. Like, come on, this is very intentionally zoomed in to show lip injection filler sites. And I'm not somebody that judges. I'm okay if you want to affirm the way you look, affirm your gender in some way, but it feels slightly hypocritical for Republicans that rail against that. Let's walk through the Vanity Fair piece and these photos. Just for a bird's eye view, the really big excerpt that's gone viral reads, "Over the course of 11 wilds, Donald Trump's chief of staff, Susie Wiles, offered pungent assessments of the president and his team. Mr. Trump, quote, has an alcoholic's personality. Vice President J.D. Vance has, quote, been a conspiracy theorist for a decade. And his conversion from Trump critic to ally was based not on principle, but was, quote, sort of political because he was running for Senate. Elon Musk is, quote, an avowed ketamine user and an odd, odd duck. I made an entire video about Elon Musk shuttering USAID earlier. This was a huge debacle within the White House where even Susie Wiles was shocked at the speed and just the vigorousness of Elon Musk's careless, reckless shuttering of USAID. Elon Musk is an avowed ketamine user. Russell T. Vaught, the budget director, is a, quote, right-wing absolute zealot. And Attorney General Pam Bondi completely whiffed in her handling of the Epstein files. We can talk about the Epstein files very quickly because we went through the Elon piece, right? The Elon piece says, quote, he's a complete solo actor, said Susie Wiles of Trump's billionaire pal who led the scorched earth blitz known as the Department of Government Efficiency. Quote, the challenge with Elon is keeping up with him. He's an avowed ketamine user, and he sleeps in a sleeping bag in the executive office building in the daytime. He's an odd, odd duck. Musk triggered the first true crisis of the Trump presidency and an early test for Wiles. Trump's chief was shocked when the SpaceX founder eviscerated USAID, but let's jump over to the Epstein file piece. For many of Trump's followers, it's an article of faith that the US government has long been run by an elite cabal of pedophiles. Less conspiratorially, but no less seriously, other questions whether politicians and powerful people either participated in or knew about Jeffrey Epstein have popped up. Perhaps most critical to Trump followers, though, is the fact that Trump indicated a willingness to release the files and didn't. Wiles told me she underestimated the potency of the scandal. Quote, whether he was an American CIA asset, a Mossad asset, whether all these rich, important men went to the Nasty Island and did unforgivable things. I mean, I kind of knew it, but it's never anything I paid a bit of attention to. In February, Bondi gave binders labeled the Epstein Files Phase 1 to a group of conservative social media influencers. The binders turned out to contain nothing but old information. Here is where Susie Wiles basically condemns Pam Bondi. Quote, I think she completely whiffed on appreciating that that was very targeted group that cared about this, Wiles said of Bondi. First, she gave them binders full of nothingness. And then she said that the witness list or the client list was on her desk. There is no client list and sure as hell was not on her desk. As Noah Schottman reported in the Vanity Fair, dozens and dozens of FBI agents at the New York field office were tasked with combing through the Epstein files. Many observers assumed they were looking for and possibly redacting Trump's name. Quote, I don't know how many agents looked through things, but it was a lot. They were looking for 25 things, not one thing. Wiles told me she read what she calls the Epstein files, and she said, Trump is in the file, and we know he's in the file. And he's not in the file doing anything awful. Wiles said that Trump was, quote, on Epstein's plane. He's in the manifest. They were, you know, sort of young, single, whatever. I know it's a passe word, but sort of young, single playboys together. So she's justifying Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein flying together and being buddy-buddy while trying to delineate and draw a line and say she doesn't think Trump did anything bad. I don't know if you get to pick and choose which part of Epstein's life Donald Trump was a part of. It seems like they were pretty deeply embedded within each other. Let's go over to this Caroline Levitt piece. Again, I mean, I'm not one to judge about somebody getting lip injections or somebody. I don't really care. I don't care what somebody does as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. But this went incredibly viral. And a lot of people were dunking on Caroline Levitt. And as we scroll through this, it becomes obvious that they intentionally zoomed in on Caroline Levitt's lips and lip filler sites right here. Here's another photo of her standing in the Oval Office. Caroline Levitt, the mouthpiece. The combative White House press secretary fields questions from the press corps with all the subtlety of a Rottweiler. Wiles calls her a scary good communicator, right up there with the New York mayor like Zohran Mamdani. Quote, the president doesn't give a crap if you're a man or a woman, Levitt says. He just wants you to be good at your job. How's she faring in the onslaught of questions about the Epstein files? Quote, it's pretty clear he wants us to be aggressively offensive when it comes to this issue. Next, we have Dan Scavino, the caddy. The deputy chief of staff and director of presidential personnel is a social media obsessive and veteran of Trump's first term. He's also a former golf club manager and, as a teenager, toted the president's clubs. Quote, when we came into office in Trump 1.0, the Russia hoax kicked in right away, and it was nothing but investigation after investigation after investigation. This go-around, we came in, we won. There's no investigations. Other than the war crime investigation to Pete Hegseth, the Epstein file investigation into Donald Trump, other than the Supreme Court potentially overturning the tariffs, that's another thing entirely. Next, we have James Blair, the Bulldog, the 36-year-old White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Legislative, Political, and Public Affairs. They're kind of trying to make these people sound too badass. By Bulldog, do you mean like arrogant, petulant fascist? I don't know. Blair says Trump's, quote, genius is being able to simplify. Like, don't use a $10 word when a $2 word will do. That's one way to put Trump's limited vocabulary. He has a real talent for just cutting through all the bullshit and the clutter and getting down to brass tacks, staring down a possible GOP shellacking in the 2026 midterms. More photos right there. I do want to head back just for one second to the original Vanity Fair article that talks more about Epstein. Trump has claimed without evidence that Bill Clinton visited Epstein's infamous private island, Little St. James, quote, supposedly 28 times. Quote, there is no evidence those visits happened, according to Wiles. As for whether there was anything incriminating in Clinton in the files, quote, the president was wrong about that. Susie Wiles seems to understand the implication that if you set the standard where if somebody is just next to Epstein in a bunch of photos, like Bill Clinton is, and was in Epstein's logs, like Bill Clinton is, then Donald Trump also fits that same standard. He's in a bunch of photos with Epstein. Quote, the people that really appreciated what a big deal this is are Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, she said, because they lived in that world. And the vice president, who's been a conspiracy theorist for a decade, for years, Kash has been saying, go to release the files, go to release the files. And he's been saying that with a view of what he thought was in the files. It turns out to not be right. He thought it was going to be a lot more Democrats in the files, and Trump's name was littered throughout. In July, Todd Blanch, the deputy attorney general and Trump's former lawyer, traveled to Tallahassee, Florida, in a courthouse to interview Epstein's longtime associate, Ghislaine Maxwell. Convicted on sex trafficking charges in 2021, she received a 20-year prison sentence. It's not typical, is it, I asked Wiles, to send the number two guy in the DOJ and the president's former defense lawyer to interview a convicted sex trafficker. According to Wiles, it was Blanche's suggestion. Wiles said that neither she nor Trump had been consulted about Maxwell's transfer to a less restrictive facility after Blanche's visit. Quote, the president was ticked. The president was mighty unhappy. I don't know why they moved her. Neither does the president. But she said, if that's an important point, I can find out. At press time, Wiles said she still had not found out. What about the birthday greeting featuring a sketch of a nude woman, which, according to the Wall Street Journal, bore Trump's name and was sent to Epstein for his 50th birthday? Quote, that letter is not his, Wiles said, and nothing about it rings true to me, nor does it to the people that have known the president a long time. I mean, it rings true to me. I feel like, seems very, very true. It seems like the White House got smacked by the Epstein scandal, and the crazy thing is, in just about 4 or 5 days, the FBI deadline to release the rest of the files is up. We're finally at the deadline. We've seen a drip of photos coming from oversight committees. We've made videos on these photos kind of drip leaking out. But right now, this is escalating to a new level as the FBI deadline comes into play. So if you appreciate these videos and you want more updates, drop a like, subscribe below. I'll see you in the next one. Peace out.